He is Robin Leach. He is Jaden Markin. This is Car Keys.
And we'll start off this morning's edition with a discussion about safety and electric cars. Basically, or specifically, having audible alerts for electric cars in parking lots, for use in parking lots and when they're in reverse. And the Volt is going to be one of the apparently first lines of electric vehicles or whatever to install a pedestrian alert as standard equipment in their vehicles for the next model year, which is 2019.
Well, it better be a shrieking whistle, because half the people wandering around, if the car is as noisy as can be, still stand behind it because they're walking.
Well, I won't go into that, but I will tell you that many times in one of our post office parking lots where you park in facing forward and people are walking between there and various other shops that are in this same little shopping center, which is actually in Sharon, for full disclosure. If you, even with gasoline engine cars, your point is taken appropriately. However, with electric cars, it is far more dangerous, in my opinion, when you get in an electric car or a hybrid that is not going to start its engine up automatically to charge and put the car in reverse, and people are walking towards you from afar. They don't have a clue that there may be a car moving right into their path, and especially if they're distracted walking, which many of them are.
Wait, if they don't have a clue, you think the beep-beep is going to...
We're not going to discuss it in that vein.
We're just going to talk about the fact that it's a safety thing.
It is a safety thing. It should have been installed at the first moment that the Toyota... hybrids came out, electric cars came out, and the Hyundais and the Toyota Camrys and all that. But they haven't been mandated by the Safety Commission yet, and I do not know why.
And are they now mandated?
No, they are not mandated.
Okay, so enough people haven't been run over.
Volt
yet.
Is doing this, at least in this article, as a...
Volt or Bolt?
Volt or Bolt? Volt.
Volt is
I
the
hope
hybrid.
The Bolt is going to change its tune, too. The headline in this article is Fresh and Chevy Volt is Changing Its Tune, meaning pedestrian alert updated as new rules loom.
So that's
so
a hybrid.
So this is looming.
But all right. Something I learned last week, probably the last person to it, but the FDA only launches an investigation, for example, into a drug or a situation after there have been many complaints when bad things have happened, not before. So I just wonder if whatever safety boards, et cetera, have similar policies.
I don't know what the safety policies of the boards are. I know that they don't seem to be practically oriented. They seem to be driven by possibly manufacturers lobbying to avoid having to put these systems in absolutely mandated. It's like the damn turn signal. Invisible turn signal situation, which I've been ranting on this show about, where you've got turn signals that are not visible with daytime running lights and or headlights on at the same time because they're so close to these lights that those lights basically wash out the turn signals if they're not bright enough or a different color. And you can't tell. We've got an intersection right going into Lakeville where it is often a big problem if you sit there trying to judge whether you can go forward or not. If a line of cars are coming up and they have their signals on, but you can't see them because they're being washed out by other lighting systems in the car. And that can be in nighttime or daytime. And I've been ranting on this show about that too, if you remember.
I'm still stuck on people who don't use their turn signals. So.
Well, we heard on this station earlier this morning of this day's show about how apparently the turn signals are basically not used at all in Pennsylvania, in the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is not exclusive to this problem. It may be exclusive in Marshall's idea of it because...
Well, he was in a very small part of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
No,
I was in Nantucket this weekend.
Massachusetts, it's just pathetic.
However, we don't need to worry about calling states by names. The drivers are pathetic because they're the ones not using the turn signals. It's not the states.
True.
And it's going on all over the country.
But it's not being enforced.
Well, there's nobody to enforce it. You have no safety people out there driving around just monitoring for safety driving capabilities of drivers. And so you can't enforce something when there's no enforcement provision out there to do anything about it.
Okay.
All right?
Well, let's Enough. Make it education.
I have no Jay, rants you this have, morning. You no rants. I took my happy pills. I'm
okay,
happy.
Good. So what would you like to start out with?
Happiness.
Driving? I was thinking over the weekend. I drove a few cars, and the demise of the V8 engine. You know, the V8 engine is synonymous with American cars throughout the world. And we have no more V8 engines. And I read a little blurb about Ford's future a few
products.
Weeks ago. We saw, I think, those of us who read auto news and automotive magazines, you know, the three things that Ford was going to drop in the future, in the foreseeable future, and I think the first is, as we know, the sedan. The second one was the whole Lincoln brand, which is still up for debate. And the third was the V8 engine, which I think is only available now in the Ford Mustang.
And pickup trucks.
And a few pickup trucks. But I like V8 engines. And they're going away. They're being replaced. As we know, they were replaced by V6s and then four-cylinder turbo engines. And I drove a couple high-end SUVs this weekend. And one is a brand-new or year-old Volvo with a four-cylinder turbo hybrid additional power. And it is very fast. It drives like a sports car, which is a lot of fun because you can fool people. But it just sounds like a basic four-cylinder engine. And I drove a 10-year-old Mercedes that just with a V8, and it drives.
It sounds
great. It's barely audible, but it feels good. It's smooth. And to that note, I think one of the greatest engines is the Toyota/Lexus V8 of 15, 20 years ago. It's still one of the smoothest engines out there. So, bye-bye V8 engine.
Do you think anyone will bring them back?
Not in the foreseeable future.
And
well, you know, Cadillac tried to do the V8 with the piston you select way back with in yesteryear. And it was only a mixed success because they didn't have the technology that they have today allowed cylinder disconnect to be as smooth as they are right now. And Chevrolet on their pickup trucks is about to produce an engine that can go down to, I think, two cylinders it's either a V6 or even a V8 mode. And I don't know what that, and this is all to save gas and be economical, when you could get a Chevrolet Silverado pickup truck with a V8 engine to go down to two cylinders, maybe going down Smith Hill in Salisbury. That could happen, but cruising on a highway at 55 miles an hour or over, I would be hard-pressed to see how two cylinders could keep that truck going along at a consistent speed, if that was possible. But that would be the one reason to possibly lengthen the life of a V8 engine option in pickups and even vehicles, if they really could run efficiently as well as effectively on, let's say, less than half the cylinders count in the engine, which in this case would be four. Because four-cylinder engines, as Jay says, are the coming thing in many cars, and I think the Q7 Audi has a four-cylinder engine as its base engine option now. And who would have thought that a vehicle that weighs, I don't know, over 2 tons would be able to run effectively and satisfactorily for its owner with four-cylinder engine, but Jay's saying that they're running fine, and he's correct. They are running fine.
Well,
but they aren't the V8 that I've said. I compared my older Audi A8s with V8s to the Audi A4s with four-cylinder engines, which I often got to compare in terms of efficiency, not to mention power capability, when I took the A8 in for servicing a loaner car. And I was saying how the V8 was actually far more pleasant to drive, plus it got better gas mileage than the A4 did on the same general route going to and from the dealership. because it didn't have to work as hard to keep the car moving at the same speed that the four-cylinder was. And this was maybe pre-turbocharged four-cylinder eras, but still, these bigger engines, as Jay, I hope, will agree, and when we do this, when we do agree, will can possibly be just as efficient functionally wise in many cases, if not most cases, in the same kind of model of vehicle.
Yeah, I think yes, my experience is that some of you can get very decent gas mileage out of some of these V8s. Having said that, the new technology in turbochargers
is
such that the four-cylinder turbocharged engine is just very efficient, and those engines have become very powerful. I mean, the last V8s the V8s in the early 80s when we started having all these regulations and the catalytic converters were new and fuel emissions were starting to be severely controlled. Power outputs of these V8 sunk to under 200 horsepower, and these cars were actually dogs compared to what we have now, where we have four-cylinder, two-liter engines that produce 300 and 350 horsepower. Which brings me to my next topic, and it's almost a rant, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, but cars are becoming way too powerful to be in the hands of
people who don't know how to drive.
People who don't know how to drive, or even people they're just not necessary.
Right.
I mean, there is a certain critical point where more power just does not bring you, there's no return.
Would you suggest the Bugatti Veyron might be one of those vehicles?
Well, the Bugatti Veyron and
1,000 horsepower?
Yeah, but those are supercars that are so limited in production. They're just like showcase.
They're for
model.
People who, yeah. What I'm thinking of is.
It's not even relevant.
Which car that's in not in limited production or limited availability are you thinking about that has this higher horsepower engine you're implying?
Talk about the Dodge and the Chrysler products now, either the Jeep SRTs and the Dodge Chargers and all those special editions with 700 or 800 horsepower. I think they make you sign a waiver now when you pick up the car, because people have been dying less than a mile after leaving the dealership taking possession of their new cars. It's
because
just
once
insane.
And if you spent any time this summer on the Jersey Turnpike, even as a passenger, as I did, you know, you see people who do. If you have a car that will do things, don't you want to make the car do things?
Well, yes, but we're not talking about super-powered cars.
I'm just
doing
talking
those
about
you're
human
noticing.
Nature and a
you
car that
you can do most
will...
many of these things that Jay is alluding to with the ultra-high horsepower vehicles with regular cars, not as quickly, but you can do all these things. So Jay is really specifically alluding to the 700 horsepower engine options which are available in these special edition cars.
500 horsepower SUVs they're becoming, I was going to say the norm, but the some of the luxury brand SUVs, the top of the line models come with 450, 500 horsepower. And the performance numbers are just insane. I mean, when you can take a 300 horsepower car and in a matter of seconds put the car at 120, 130 miles an hour on roads where we're not legally
able to do
almost half anything more than half of that, anything more powerful than that just becomes
insane. It's like people with chainsaws who don't know how to use them. I mean, it's just an overabundance of.
Well, it's
power,
it's,
but
it's,
I think that
it's
once
testosterone
again,
in automobiles.
But
and the engineers like to do it because they like to have their engineering department show that they can do this and they can produce a car like this, and that there's a small nucleus of a population of buyers out there that have the money to buy these and indeed want to own them.
But even when you're buying a just like a Fred Flintstone mobile, you still want the with your feet coming out. You still at least. Regular people, forgetting specialty cars, drivers, regular people still want to feel as though they are not driving a goat cart.
Well, that may
uphill.
Be true, but they don't have to have 700. Jay is saying
goat.
You don't have to have 700 goat. Horsepower to get the sporty nature of the car and allow reckless use of that car.
I guess the adequate power always feels good, right? When you look at a hill and you can get it to the top of the hill at the same speed you started and not have to plan
and not go down
how many more goats you need.
Correct.
Right.
I mean, that is nice. It makes for
For pleasant example, driving. A perfect example is the new Jeep Cherokee / Wrangler available with a turbocharged four-cylinder engine, replacing or adding to the six-cylinder option or the base four-cylinder engines that are still standard on those vehicles. All those engines are adequate in one form or another at their respective levels of power output. It's how that power shows up in the driving that brings to mind how satisfying the new four-cylinder turbocharged engine in the Cherokee is over the standard non-turbocharged four-cylinder engine, which, as adequate as it is not near as satisfying as the turbocharged four is. And to boot, the turbocharged four-cylinder engine gets better overall gas mileage on a trip than the non-turbo. This goes to my point of an eight-cylinder engine being more efficient pushing the same size vehicle than a four-cylinder engine turbocharged is, because it doesn't take as much effort to move the vehicle at the same speeds, whether you're on a flat terrain or whether you're going up a steep hill. And having just driven the turbocharged four-cylinder Cherokee 600 miles over this last weekend, the average at the end of the trip was 29.8 miles a gallon. And I cannot do that in the non-turbocharged four-cylinder Cherokee, even though it's supposed to be the most economical, or was before the new engine came on, the more economical of the engine options of that vehicle, which were then one four-cylinder engine and one six-cylinder engine. So I have said on this show, and we'll say it again, anybody interested in the Cherokee should try to purchase that engine option, because that's the way to go.
How about an electric engine?
What?
Electric motor.
No, it won't go 600 miles comfortably without recharging at outlandish time frames to recharge the batteries to get on with that trip, Jay. We've gone over this, and I will say, you said it in last week's show, I believe. There's not enough range in the electric vehicles to make them good for cross-country driving or long driving trips, and that was a big statement for you to make.
Yeah, I'm retracting that. I'll retract that. I think fossil fuels are done.
While Jay's thinking of the next thing to close the show with, I will say a new engine option available in the 2019 Jeep Wrangler is a 3-liter turbo diesel engine. So
what would that
Wrangler,
be? In other words, what is a 3-liter?
Well, it's a 3-liter. That's the size of the engine, but the power output, or more to the point, the torque in those diesel engines
is that the
is
questionable
superior.
V6? Is that the one were under scrutiny?
I'm sure it's the one that was in the Grand Cherokee and in the pickup trucks, too. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's a heavy engine for the Wrangler,
let's not kid ourselves. If Volkswagen put out a bunch of very dirty diesel engines, let's not believe that BMW, Mercedes, all had super clean engines.
Well, it's all right. So everybody, you were
they're
just
all
not,
being
we're
retested, and apparently Jeep has gotten their diesel turbo diesel engine passed for installation in the pickup truck, and now the Jeep Wrangler. I do not believe it's going to be again available in the Grand Cherokee because it was discontinued over the emissions scandal that enveloped Chrysler too.
Can I go on a rant?
If it's quick, because we're running out of time.
I have a Volkswagen.
You love your diesel.
We
know
all have Volkswagen. No, here's my point. I just saw this week a nice video for the new Volkswagen Touareg, the full-size Volkswagen SUV that was replaced in this market by the Atlas. And sadly enough, we will not get the new Touareg, because here in America, people will not pay top dollar to have a high-end Volkswagen. So the Touareg was replaced by the Atlas, and we have the U.S. model only Jetta, and those are dumbed down Volkswagens compared to what other markets are getting. And the new Touareg will find its way, of course, in Europe, but also in China. So the Chinese get to get high-end Volkswagens, and we have to drive the dumbed down Volkswagens.
And that is because of Audi?
That's because
Porsche?
In America we won't recognize that Volkswagen can produce, or we cannot associate top-of-the-line luxury cars with the Volkswagen brand. And
it's well, a that's
shame
what's
because
going
the new
on,
Touareg
that's
a, is going to be a
that's
heck
what's
of a
going
car.
On with Hyundai and Genesis to a lesser extent. The problem is
you create,
when you,
you
try
create the tiers.
Volkswagen used to have a
yeah, but Volkswagen has Audi to you
that's
know
what
they,
I'm
so they forget about you know they're
right.
not trying to
why
to,
would they why you can't you know, plus if you're owned by the same it's just it's
well Volkswagen was deemed to be the
clear.
Economy
let's be clear.
Economical. Audi for years.
Let's be clear.
Let's be clear. There's no comparison between a Volkswagen Atlas and a Volkswagen Touareg. And that
we're
was just a rant.
But we're totally clear about that. The point is, for people who are actually listening and who give about the cars that they buy, you know, you can't say, wow, you believe that XYZ, oh, well, because you've been marketed and brainwashed to believe this for X number of years, and then say, oh, and by the way, you're not getting the high-end cars for Volkswagen. Like, no one has told you that you want a high-end car from Volkswagen. They've told you that you want a Porsche or a high-end Audi. So to say, wow, you're not getting a high-end Volkswagen is sort of, yeah, okay.
Well, the problem is with Volkswagen is that every time they get, they were designed to be a less expensive Audi, and they should stay down there. And the Touareg was a wonderful vehicle in its time and still could be a wonderful vehicle. But as Jay says, the Atlas is superseded in Volkswagen's marketing mind and availability line for U.S. spec'd cars.
That's, I think, and the point is marketing versus, you know,
it's
it
marketing.
Always
it's,
devolves to you know, that. It's like, okay, we're marketing
they're
this.
Always trying to figure out how to market cars that they can't get the public to buy, be it American, European, Asian or South American buyers. And they try to direct the products that they think will be saleable in any particular market that they're building cars in and for. And sometimes they can succeed and sometimes they can't. And when usually the can't is shown by the declining numbers of sales of a particular model. It's like the Beetle is going out as the gasoline version of it, at least, is going out as the next VW to disappear. However, they're all saying, oh, it's not going to disappear, but it's going to be re-engineered and reinvented. And it's probably going to be an electric version of the Beetle for the limited number of market people who would still like to have a Beetle. And you don't drive Beetles on long distance trips, so you could have one around here and never worry about having range concern. And we are coming to a close pretty quickly. Jay, a final word.
No, I think that, well, I think the Beetle is going to be, they're going to use a name, and it's either going to be a brand or a sub-brand, but it's not going to target the same. It's not going to be
no,
anywhere
that's what
near
I
the
just
same
said.
Vehicle.
It's just going to be reinvented because the design is something that a certain number of people will want to buy every year, even if it's only one.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.